Father, thank you so much for your word, for your life, your abundant life that you've given us. Thank you for your peace, your mercy, your grace, your loving kindness. Thank you for giving us Jesus. Thank you for giving us the Holy Spirit. Thank you for the apostolic grace that is resting on all of us. Thank you for our apostle that's structuring heaven to earth government so that the portals of the supernatural can be opened so all of us can enter in and benefit from it. Thank you, God, so much for that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. If you would, turn with me to Ephesians, the fourth chapter. In Ephesians, the fourth chapter, the goal, it shares with us the goal of the purpose of us coming together. The reason why we forsake not the assembling of ourselves. And in the 13th verse is what I want to read, because I want you to see the reasons why we come together. Verse 13 says, till we all come in a unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a mature man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Verse 14, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, make an increase of the body. So the increase of the body is not based on Jesus. He's the head. But the increase of the body is based on us. Make an increase of the body unto the edifying of itself, or the building of itself in love. I've been enjoying these teachings that Apostle been teaching us on grace. Yes. Yes. The enemy tried to rob us of the power of grace under the pastoral model. Right. Because the pastoral model is so self-centric, meaning it's self-centered, the pastoral model downgraded grace to just be a cover up of sin. And so under the pastoral model, there was a while, and some still are doing it in the body of Christ, where they're teaching grace as a cover up of sin. So in other words, you can keep the same behavior, but grace is there to cover it. But in actuality, grace is an empowerment. It's an empowerment. It is something that God gave us that will bring us up, that will cause us to accomplish what we cannot accomplish on our own. So grace is an empowerment. So now, if they use it in the right context, and if they define it properly, then what it means when grace covers a multitude of sins, what it means is grace will come in and pick you up out of sin. So you don't have to behave that way anymore. Grace will lift you. Grace will empower you to say no. Grace will empower you to find that means of escape. See, the reason why I'm so thankful for the apostolic is because an apostle structures doctrine. So anytime a doctrine or a principle in the Bible is taken off of course, it's up to the apostles to bring it back on course. And so grace is an empowerment. So being that it's an empowerment, grace is not just a cover up of sin. Grace is also there to help you accomplish what God has called you to do. That's why the Apostle Paul said, I am, but what I am, by the grace of God. He was saying, if it wasn't for God empowering me, I couldn't have wrote all these letters. If it wasn't God empowering me, I couldn't have structured the doctrine for salvation. If it wasn't God empowering me. So grace is an empowerment. I heard another pastor say it this way. I just so you know, if you don't see me there on a Sunday morning, I'm not backsliding. I'm just at the moment, I'm following my daughter in her last year playing softball. She's playing college ball, so I made a promise to her I'll be there, try to be at every game I can be. So I don't know about some of y'all, you know, I'm not hating on LTTV when I say this. I'm not hating on Zoom. I appreciate y'all being here. I know why y'all here, but I've been raised in the church. And so when you go a few Sundays without being in church, it bothers you. It bothers you. You know, I was raised in a church, born and raised. So if I miss a few Sundays, it bothered me. So this particular Sunday, I was in Monroe, and I went to one of my brother's church that's pastor, LTMA Brethren, that's pastoring in Monroe, Pastor Comanche. And he was teaching, doing exactly what we're supposed to be doing. He's following the apostle, and he's breaking the messages down at apostle teaching and teaching it to his church. And he was talking about the grace to trust God. And he said this way, he said, grace is a gap filler. In other words, whatever you're missing, grace will come in and fill in the gap so that you can be and accomplish everything that God has called you to do. So grace is an empowerment. It empower you to do what God calls you to do. If there's anything missing, it'll fill a gap. So in other words, grace will fill the gap wherever you are lacking. This is why we're going to get to Hebrews 4 and 16. That's why Hebrews 4 and 16 is so important. All right, so we're going to get there. I want to turn to Philippians 2. And I want to expound on a statement I made Sunday and why we come to church. I used Philippians 2 and 5, and it read a certain way. Because we as Christians have to stop trying to achieve. You can't change the stripes of a tiger. You can't change the stripes of a tiger. Why I said that? You can't change how God designed you. You can only ignore it. You can't change how God designed you. You can only ignore it. In Philippians 2, verse 5, it says, let this mind be in you. Let this thought process, let this way of thinking be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. As a semicolon, and it tells us how we ought to think, but I want to focus on, let this mind be in you. Let this way of thought be in you. That means that way of thought or that way of thinking was already on the inside of you. It says, let this mind be. Other words, it was already existing. The word let means allow it. So I have to allow this mind to express itself. I have to, the mind is already there. The ability is already there. The capabilities is already there, but it's possibly lying dormant. Go with me to Genesis. Hold your finger in first in Ephesians. Go to Genesis. Genesis, the third chapter. I want to read this out of order so you can see how we've been robbing ourselves of the ability of God that's lying dormant on the inside of us. All right? Verse 6, Genesis 3, verse 6. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. Right? You see this? Satan didn't make her do it. Satan didn't make him do it. They chose to. Are you seeing this? All right. Watch this now. Watch this. They chose to. They were already like God. That's how God made them. So Satan, being jealous, wanted to usurp that power and that authority. The reason why the tree was in the center of the garden is because God wanted man to have a choice whether he was going to be who he designed him to be or be what everybody else wanted him to be. The capabilities was already existing. Adam and Eve was already like God. Why? Because he made them in his image. But it was Satan that came in and covered up the image. He covered up the image by doing what to them? Lying. Telling them something that was not true. So, in that same thought process, when Adam and Eve sinned, sin nature took over. All right, you with me? Now, when you were born, I'm talking about you now, when you were born, the same process that God used for Adam and Eve was used for you. There's no such thing as somebody here on earth without a spirit. The only difference is when you were born not knowing that the sin nature was resting on you. So when you got born again, when you accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, watch this. The only thing that happened was Jesus uncovered the real you. When you got born again, Jesus uncovered the real you. Now, He uncovered the real you, but you remember now, he redeemed us. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Christ has redeemed us, put us back in a former position. He uncovered the real you. Put you in the same position that Adam and Eve was in before they ate off the tree. All right? The responsibility for discovering that you is not on Jesus. The responsibility for discovering who God designed you to be is on you. This is why he sent the fivefold, so that they can position you so you won't be tossed to and fro. Now, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine simply means that I won't be swayed by everything that comes around me, no matter who it comes from. Because I'm perfected, I'm matured, I'm coming into the knowledge of Christ. I'm coming into the fullness of his nature. I'm coming into who he designed me to be. That's not on the fivefold to do that for you. That's on you. See, Christ uncovered your spirit. What I mean by he uncovered your spirit? He uncovered your spirit so that you now can have direct communication of God for yourself. You got to remember now, that was the reason why the curtain was rent in two. It was a reason why in the Old Testament they needed priests. Because they couldn't go into the holiest of holies for themselves. But because Jesus shed his blood on Calvary and redeemed us, now we are, our true selves have been uncovered. Are you seeing this? Apostle, when he started teaching on grace, it started making me look. Go to Ephesians 1. I start looking at all the past tense words. Because you're not trying to achieve anything. You already are. And you have to allow it. Now, watch this now. Notice in Philippians 2 and 5 says, let this mind be in you. It didn't say you have to express it. It says allow this mind in you to come out. It didn't say you have to bring it out. It says you have to allow. There's a difference. See, there's a difference between you bringing it out and then you letting it come out. Ephesians, the first chapter. Ephesians, the first chapter, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed, E-D, blessed us with some, with all spiritual blessings. Now, watch, I love this last part of this verse. Because if you got to know English, in heavenly places. This scripture has nothing to do with heaven. This scripture has nothing to do with heaven. It says heavenly or heaven-like places. Now, I need you to know this past tense. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. That means God sent you here with everything you need already in you to accomplish what he's going to ask you to do. You're not trying to gain no other gift. You are the gift. See, we have to begin to operate from a place of knowing who we are. Not, watch this, not trying to figure it out. What I'm discovering is how God wants to use who I am. Did you catch that? I'm not trying to figure out who I am. I'm trying to figure out how God wants to use who I am. He hath blessed us. It's already on the inside of you. It's already there. This is why you have to mature. There's some things on inside of you that God can't let you use now. Because you haven't matured to that. That don't mean it ain't there. It's just you haven't matured to it yet. But if you keep spending time with him. If you keep spending time with him, I'm going to show it to you very clearly. If you keep spending time with him, you will get to that place where that gift or whatever ability or whatever capability you need will just flow out of you. See, church, well, religion was trying to get us to perform. Trying to get us a list of things to do and a list of things not to do instead of being. See, there's a difference. Having a list of things to do and having a list of things not to do, well, it's the law. That's you working. But when you let things come, when you let it come from you because you have an understanding of who you are, and you work in cooperation with God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, and let it come from you. When you let it come from you, you'll find out that life becomes a whole lot easier. See, a lot of things that you're stressing about, you're stressing because you're trying to figure out. You're trying to figure out how you're going to make it work. When the answer for that situation is, but you're blocking it because you are frustrating the grace of God.
There you go. That's it.
You are frustrating the grace of God. You are frustrating the empowerment. In other words, you're getting in the way of the empowerment. Watch this. 2 Corinthians 5. One of the things I'm enjoying the most about this, about the apostolic, is now I'm reading the scriptures from a different point of view. And I'm seeing how these scriptures really can be applied in my life, and I see results from them. You understand? You see results. I'm not just going through the motions. Ephesians 5, verse 17, it says, therefore, if any man, I love that, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Now, the Apostle Paul is talking from a point of view of how you, as a new believer, or you as a human, sees things. So when you got born again, you became a new creature. All right. But to God, you was already who he designed you to be. To you was a new creature. But to him, God said, they finally figured it out. They finally figured it out. Now let's go to work. See, to you, you became new. But to God, because remember now, in Ecclesiastes, Solomon said there's nothing new under the sun. All right. If Apostle Paul wasn't talking from a point of view that's telling you, talking to you, and you realizing that you're a new creature, then why would God say in Jeremiah 29:11? God said, I know thoughts. He told Jeremiah, I knew you. You just didn't know you. So when you got born again, it became new to you because you don't know any other way to carry yourself. But to God, God said, this person is back to who I originally planned them to be. while you were living in sin, the Spirit of God was lying dormant on the inside of you. Covered up by the sin nature. And the way the sin nature stays covered up, keeps the Spirit covered up, is allowing Satan to keep lying to you. It ain't no new tricks. He lied to cover up the Spirit of God in man the first time. He gonna keep lying to cover up the Spirit of God in you. So whenever you face a challenge, that's him lying to you, saying you can't overcome this. And when you stress, that's you believing him. Because the answer is not, watch this, the answer is not with God. He's sitting with you. Are you seeing this? This is why Ephesians 4 and 11 is so important. That's the reason why the fivefold is so important, because the fivefold is helping you to realize you. The fivefold is here to help you realize you. Every gift, every ability, every anointing, everything you need to be who God called you to be and to come into the footsteps of Christ is already on the inside of you. Already there. Already there. Listen, all right, Hebrews, the fourth chapter. Watch this. Hebrews, the fourth chapter and the 16th verse. Let us therefore come how? Boldly unto the throne of empowerment. Now, why do we need to come to the throne of empowerment? That we may, now watch this, this is key. This is powerful. That we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in a time of need. Now, it's the throne room of grace. It's the throne room of empowerment, right? Yes, sir. So our question to the Holy Spirit, why would the Apostle Paul send you to the throne room of grace so that you can have mercy? If it's the throne room of grace. Holy Spirit begin to deal with me. The throne room of grace is where you run into no matter what. No matter what condition you're in. The throne room of grace has room for apostle. The throne of grace has room for the person that just got born again and don't know nothing. The reason why mercy can't be found there, if you know what mercy is, mercy is me not getting. That's what mercy is. Mercy is me getting what I don't deserve. Not letting it happen to me, what should happen to me. That's what it is. We just define grace. I'm going to get to that one. Mercy is not allowing to let things happen to me that should happen to me. So watch this. So the throne room of grace, the throne room of empowerment is for the seasoned Christian. I'm going to get to them in a moment. And it's for the throne room of grace is for sinners. Yeah.
When you run into the throne room of grace, and I'm going to show you what I mean by running to the throne room of grace. When you run into the throne room of grace and you need mercy, this is why I tell people who have an issue with a particular sin. My Baptist days, I would tell them they're going to hell. Way back, I tell them you're going to hell. If you can't figure it out, you're going to hell. But now I understand how loving God is. As soon as you finish sinning, run to that throne room of grace. Now, I'm going to show you what I mean by run to the throne room of grace. I'm going to show you in a minute. Run to the throne room of grace that you may what? Obtain what? Mercy. God, I messed up. I'm sorry. Help me. So God will come in and help you and not allow to happen to you. So now the remedy I give Christians who have a habit, as soon as you finish, run into the throne room of grace, that you may obtain mercy and find empowerment. That you may obtain so that you can block off what should have been happened to you and then get power not to do it again. And the throne room of grace is for the seasoned Christian who the enemy can't trick that way no more. You can go through a throne room of empowerment that you can find grace. Grace what? Empowerment. Empowerment to do what God has called me to do. Yes, sir. See, do you know empowerment sometimes is just know-how? Yeah. Do you realize that Jehoshaphat was empowered when he got prophesied to? Jehoshaphat gave us an inkling of how to get into the throne with grace. He said, I don't know what to do, but my eyes or my focus are on you, God. Do you know Jesus kept running to the throne room of grace? Oh yeah, Jesus ran to the throne room of grace. Why would the Apostle Paul tell us run to the throne room of grace and Jesus ain't run to the throne room of grace? Jesus kept going to the throne room of grace so he can find empowerment.